Sure, our internet. Yeah, it's good enough connection. Just hold it like this on the right side. Because otherwise, you're going to. Don't touch these things because it'll turn it off. Okay. Here we are live from Slovenia for the Sannyas anniversary. So, Om Meganatu Medandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvena Mahat. Can everyone hear now? I'm trying to be loud. So, we're going to talk about sannyas, the purpose of sannyas, why I took sannyas, how I took sannyas, and other interesting topics. So, actually, a sannyasi, according to Krishna in the Gita, someone in the renounced order, someone sannyasi, is not someone who lights no fire or does no work. Generally, people think of, you know, sannyasi as someone who goes to the Himalayas, sits and meditates on either the impersonal Brahman or whatever he's going to meditate. Actually, I think we need this thing. Because the natives are restless out there. Let me use this until he gets that set up. So generally, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is that better? Okay. Generally, we think of a sannyasi as someone who is so renounced that he just wears, let's say, a little gumsha, kopina, whatever, and engages in very harsh austerities. But according to Krishna, and according to our Vaishnava understanding, sannyasi means someone who accepts everything favorable and rejects everything unfavorable. That's the meaning of the word sannyas, actually. Sannyas. Just like you have the word sankirtan. Sankirtan means either together chanting or complete chanting. And the sanna means together or complete. So, or accepting. And, whoops. And yas means to reject. So, let me just separate this so we don't get feedback. Okay. Where's Mike? Is it finished yet? Or? Okay. Hare Krishna. Anyway, I'll hold it. So the nyas, just like a nyas means to reject, and san means to accept. So basically the word sannyas means to accept and reject. But not sankalpa vikalpa, not to accept things and reject things according to what pleases one's senses. Generally, that's the mental platform, sankalpa vikalpa. But to accept according to what will please Krishna, reject everything that doesn't please Krishna. That's a real sannyas. And of course, that's two of the surrendering principles or practices that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. He gave us six. One is to accept everything favorable. The second is to reject everything unfavorable. That's also Yukta Vairagya, a similar concept. And then also to understand the Lord is always protecting one and maintaining one. This is very important for a sannyas. Because a real sannyas has to be ready to go into a jungle, which is the modern city, and be able to always feel protected and carry out Krishna's mission. Like if a sannyas is fearful, then he's not really qualified. You understand? Abhaya shatva samshuti jnana yoga vavastati. You know the word? Mm-hmm. That is the quality, actually Krishna says, this is the quality, Prabhupada says, is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. He's learning how to chant, that's okay. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Are you all?
Is this better?
I mean,
okay, it's clearer.
Okay, you can hear better? Very good.
So, Prabhupada said in his purport to this verse in the Gita, Abhaya Shatva Samshuti Jnana Yoga Vavastati. Abhaya means fear, free from fear. Vaya means fear. So he said these are the qualities of a sannyasi. Abhaya, he's fearless. Shatva Samshuti, he's established in transcendental goodness.
Jnana Yoga Vavastitihi. He's cultivating transcendental knowledge. So these are the qualities that Prabhupada said specifically about a sannyasi. So you see, amongst all the modern day sannyasis, Prabhupada fulfills or shows those qualities to the highest degree. Because of the way Prabhupada came to the Western world, basically everybody else was afraid to do it. Isn't it? I mean, who else had the courage? Courage is a very important subject matter, because to have courage means, or to display courage means, you have to be ready to risk your life. Isn't it? That's why I say, in one sense, Krishna, I often said this, that Krishna is not very courageous, because he doesn't risk anything. He's God. I mean, you know, if you're God, you can control everybody. You're in everyone's heart. You can make them think whatever you want them to think. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, you're fighting with someone. Okay, I want you to think this. Just like, any of you seen Star Wars here? What is that called? Jedi mind control? You know? Anyway.
Desiring the droids you're looking for. What? Desiring the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. We're not the droids you're looking for. Anyway, so, because most of you are too Krishna conscious to understand what I just said. That there's mind control in this particular movie. But Krishna has the ultimate mind control because he controls the heart. You know, he's in the heart. And what mata smriti gyanam avavanam cha? He gives you remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge according to what he wants, according to your desire, to his reciprocating. So, therefore, I don't say that Krishna's such a great hero. I say Krishna's devotees are heroes. Actually, for me, the greatest hero of the Mahabharata is Arjuna. You know, Krishna's okay too, but but Arjuna, you know, wow, he really inspires me. And the greatest hero of the Ramayana is Hanuman. He inspires me. So, of course, Lakshman, he's nice, but he's also Vishnu Tadvas. So the pastimes. Vibhishan's a hero too.
What about Jatayu?
Jatayu, yes, you're right about that. Jatayu's a great hero. Jatayu, Vibhishan to a certain extent, but I think Jatayu more. Jatayu, and Sampati is also a hero. Sampati risked his life to save his brother Jatayu. Anyway, so in my mind, hero means someone who's ready to risk everything for a higher purpose, and especially to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada, in my mind, is the greatest hero in the modern day and age, right? Because Prabhupada risked everything to come to the Western world. He risked his life. He literally risked his life because of his heart attacks. Heart attacks, not having any money, going into a strange city. You know, that's Abhaya. Like Prabhupada specifically had that name, isn't it? Abhaya Charande or Abhaya Charanaravinda. That means one who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet and therefore is free of fear. So that's a necessary quality of a sannyasi. You understand? Necessary quality. Of course, in the Vedic system, when someone first took sannyas, they didn't have that quality. So they stayed in the same village, and they didn't understand Krishna was going to protect them and maintain them. So they stayed in the outskirts of the village, you know, this Bahuduk and Kutichuk. And they had their wife cook for them, even after they took sannyas. And the kids would bring them the food. And then later on, they decided, well, maybe it's better to do Madhukari.
Paramdachakacharya.
Well, yeah.
And then
Madhukari means just to go. That's before Paramdachakacharya. That means just to go to different people's houses and ask for a slice of pizza in each person's house. Or a chapati.
But you couldn't go if there was smoke coming from the chimney.
Really? You know about these things better than me. I didn't know that. So, but then the Parvajakacharya, he just travels and he doesn't worry about knocking on people's doors. And the Paramahamsa, of course, that's the highest stage of sannyas. So Prabhupada was on the highest stage, the Paramahamsa, but out of compassion, he stepped or acted as a Parvatikacharya. That's why we say about Prabhupada, Parvahamsa Parvatikacharya. We say these two words. Even though there are different stages of sannyas, because Prabhupada is a Paramahamsa acting as a Parvajakacharya. So, that's really, you know, talking about the surrendering principles, to understand always Krishna's protecting you, always maintaining you, and then the final two are to always be meek and humble, never become proud, and then also have no separate interests other than the interests of the Supreme Lord. So that's really, to me, that's what sannyas means. I'm not saying I'm on that platform. But that's what that's really what sannyas means. Because otherwise, sannyas is not a method, or taking the formal order of sannyas is not a method to become Krishna conscious. It's not that when you change your dress, you know, you put on saffron. There's pictures actually of me when I took sannyas in 1978. You know, as a young baby of 28 years old. It's not that, you know, I got my danda, and even the sannyas gets new underwear. So, it's true. My danda, my robes, and I'm just walking down the stairs. But actually, you see, when Prabhupada, there's a picture of Prabhupada when he first took sannyas, he looks like a fighter. Anyone seen that picture? With me, I just look like a young baby, you know, walking down with a stick. But Prabhupada, you know, look, he's standing there with his danda like that. You know, it's like someone in the army is getting ready to shoot you. Ferocious and determined and courageous. So, anyways, and so Prabhupada epitomized or showed the full details of what it means to be completely surrendered to Krishna, Sharanagati. So the Sharanagati is the same as sannyas. So getting back to the point, it's not that taking sannyas will make you any more Krishna conscious. That's a very interesting point. You know, sometimes the brahmacharis are thinking, boy, when I take sannyas, I'll become more Krishna conscious because I'll get all the mahaprasadam. So, and people are sometimes thinking, like, when you become a guru, then you become a pure devotee automatically by becoming a guru. There was one devotee who asked me when one of my godbrothers was appointed, or whatever, because you can't appoint gurus, but he was allowed to be initiate disciples. He said, when did he take his pure devotee initiation? And I said, if there is such an initiation, tell me where it is, you know, I'll take it too. Because the way to become a pure devotee is the same whether you're brahmacharis, grahasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyas, men, women, children, whatever you are, it's the same way. You chant Hare Krishna purely, you develop compassion for other living entities, you know, jiva doi and namaruchi. That applies to sannyasis, brahmacharis, grahasthas, yavanas, yakshasas, rakshasas, whatever. It applies to everybody. So don't think that sannyas, that's why sannyas is prohibited in Kali Yuga. Like, there's other things that are prohibited, ashrameda, gomeda, etc. But it's prohibited because people have this conception that you become something different. And then they get worshipped when they become sannyasis, just like we had a foot bathing here, and they took away my nice socks, which I'm really upset about. So,
you get them back.
Thank you very much. So,
unless if I forget.
I was saying, it's not that I was enjoying, I was just upset. Why did they take my good socks away? So you naturally get respect in society. In fact, that's why, one of the reasons externally why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, so that people would respect him, so that they would listen to his teachings. But many times people take sannyas so that people respect them. They bow down. Like that song goes, you know, Boy George. Bow down, Mr. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. You know, so. Hare Ram, sorry, got it wrong. Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. So, okay. Yeah, there. It's hard to get those socks, I tell you. I won't tell you where I got them. But anyway.
Jumbo Jack.
I won't tell you. But they're rare. You can have these if you want. So you get prophet adoration, distinction. People think, oh, it's so wonderful. Wow, look at that sannyasi. Even though you may be the biggest jackass in the world. You know what a jackass is? Yeah, fool, Buddha. You may be the biggest fool, but you put on a dress and everyone goes, wow, Mirage. Like Prabhupada talked about one person who lived right next to him in his apartment building, and he would dress as a sannyasi during the day and at night he would dress as a grihastha. Because he could, you know, it was good, better for collecting. Because sannyasi has this bahiravas, this outer garment which is meant for collecting like that. So he would go home and turn everything over to his wife. So that's Kali Yuga sannyas. And actually it says, in Bhagavatam says that in Kali Yuga people will think that religion is just a change of dress. So that's why it's prohibited, because it's dangerous. It's like waving a red flag to Maya. You know, like a bull? In a bullfight? You know, probably none of you have seen a bullfight. I did see a bullfight before I joined the movement. It was horrible. See, the matador, that means the person who kills in Spanish, waves a red flag, and he has a sword behind the red flag. It's interesting. It's just like taking sannyas. So he waves the red flag in front of the bull. The bull charges, and he has this sword hidden behind the red flag. Wow, it's interesting. Think about the metaphor. And what he does, he kills the bull. He puts the sword right between the eyes of the bull, you know, like that, up there. It's horrible. Don't go to see it. And then there's some pretty girl in the audience, and she gets the ears of the bull. Whoa. That's bullfighting, for those who are interested.
There's also picador, isn't there?
The picador makes the bull agitated.
He picks
to make the bull agitated. Anyway, this is not about bullfighting. But that's about what it means to take sannyas. You know, Maya starts waving a red flag. Gives you more attractions. Because people are offering you respects. Even ladies are offering you respects. You get to eat whatever you want. You know, whatever house you go to, you can ask anything you want. They'll make you a 20-course, 50-course, 100-course dinner. Like in Fiji. Raja's experience in Fiji, they sometimes would make a 100-course dinner for me. Pretty good, isn't it? And that's just ordinary. That's not Vyas Puja. Vyas Puja is 2,000, 3,000 courses. So, you get respect, but actually, Lord Chaitanya says, he who praises me is my enemy. Because when you get praise, you actually develop an arthas. So, in other words, it's a very dangerous thing to externally take sannyas. So, therefore, in Kali Yuga, the preferable stage of sannyas is kshetra sannyas, where one remains in a holy place serving the deities or serving the devotees. But, for the purpose of preaching, Prabhupada made sannyasis. Now, when Prabhupada made sannyasis, he was very liberal in his making of sannyasis, because it was an emergency situation. He only had 11 years to do all this preaching to the Western world and actually around the world. And so he had to deputize people to be sannyasis who were not qualified, many of whom were not qualified. The reason for that, let's give an example of the Old West in America. Some of you have seen Western movies, you know, with the cowboys and Indians and other things. And sometimes they would deputize people who were not qualified. They called deputy sheriff, because they weren't qualified to be a real sheriff, but there had to be someone there. What do they say? A blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. That's a Bengali saying. So Prabhupada did that in many cases. Sometimes they were qualified devotees, but in many cases they were not qualified. And that's why many of the sannyasis that Prabhupada made did not make it as sannyasis. Because it was an emergency situation. When there's an emergency situation, things have to be done. So, of course, nowadays in ISKCON, we have different systems for reviewing each candidate. We make sure that they're at least 95 years old. They can't walk anymore. And so we have no fear that they're going to leave sannyas. No, it's almost like this. I remember, you know, everybody knows Jargamuni. They were putting him through, like, so many tortures to try to see if fill out a report on him. So it's a little bit too much now. But Prabhupada was very liberal in giving sannyas. And so some people made it, some people didn't make it. But it was necessary, what we call expedient. Because we needed people to go around the world and preach Krishna consciousness and be completely dedicated to the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, that was Prabhupada giving sannyas. So, as far as my sannyas is concerned, I took sannyas in 78 after Prabhupada left. But it was a different situation. What happened is that, of course, Prabhupada left the planet in 1977, November of 1977. And when Prabhupada left, people were left without their father. I mean, Prabhupada was everybody's, and is everybody's father in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. It's a fact. He's the founder, Acharya, which basically translates as father. You know, the representative of the father, but he's the father for everybody. So, when Prabhupada left, it was just like, so everybody lost their father, someone more dear to them than their actual blood father. And everyone was in a state of mourning in the whole Hare Krishna movement. I was in Los Angeles at the time when it was announced. Actually, before Prabhupada left, he wanted every devotee with him to be with him when he left this world. And that information was not conveyed by the GBC and the leaders, unfortunately. Or else I and everyone else would have been there with Prabhupada. But that's another issue. So when Prabhupada left, everybody just fainted. Literally. In the morning, it was announced when I was in Los Angeles that Prabhupada has left the planet. People dropped to the floor, uncontrollable crying. Men and women just completely lost it. And for the next few days or even a few weeks, it was almost like it was like that to a large extent. Because everyone's life was dedicated to Prabhupada. So then devotees started, you know, obviously quoting from the Bhagavatam about the departure of the spiritual master. And one of the favorite parts that devotees had to quote from the Bhagavatam was in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam about the story of the king passing away and his wife lamenting about his departure. And this, of course, is a metaphorical, it's in part of the Puranjana story there. And so the queen is lamenting, and the statement is made there by Prabhupada, the purport, that when the spiritual master passes away, one should be ready to leave the body with the spiritual master, just like the chaste wife will leave the body with the husband when the husband dies. You know, we don't expect that nowadays. Nowadays, in many instances, the wife throws the husband in the fire, but that's a different circumstance. It's a joke. Or the husband throws the wife in the fire, but whatever. But, I mean, but people used to be really loyal to each other like that. They'd be ready to die for their family members. And sometimes in Indian culture, you actually see this to this day, that the children will take care of the parents until the parents leave their bodies. And sometimes, but not so much in the Western world. In the Western world, they just put the parents in an old people's home, isn't it? In India, the young people or the children are considered to be the old age insurance. But now you have to pay for old age insurance, right? You have to pay here. It's not free. No. So you have to pay, you know, you have to pay for retirement funds and everything like that. But in Indian tradition, you didn't need those things because you had children. Anyway, so the point is that there was so much loyalty and chastity in those days that the wife was ready to leave her body if the husband left the body. And there's many instances of that, like Madri leaving with Pandu. And Prabhupada made that comparison that the wife should be ready, the disciple should be ready to leave the body with the spiritual master when the spiritual master passes away. If the disciple is not ready to serve the mission of the spiritual master. Because the mission of the spiritual master is a manifestation of the spiritual master, like we know there's Vani and Bapu. Vani means the instructions or mission of the spiritual master. So when devotees were reading that, I thought, I have to do that too. I mean, I took it very seriously, what Prabhupada said. I have to do that too, or else hasta la vista, you know, I have to leave my body. I didn't want to leave my body, because there's too much enjoyment left in life. So I thought, you know, I just have two alternatives. One, leave my body. One, serve the mission of Prabhupada. So I thought, to serve the mission of Prabhupada fully, I need to take a vow to do that. Because to me, sannyas meant taking a vow. And so I took a vow that I'm going to take sannyas
And I got put on the sannyas list in the at the GBC meeting in 1978, the early February of 1978. Okay, and I was supposed to take sannyas in 79. So some people think, ask the question, why didn't I take in 79 instead of 78? Well, we had an emergency in South America, because I had been working in South America for many, many years. I lived in Venezuela, which is one of the countries in South America, for several years. And anyway, I spoke the language down there. So there was an emergency. What was the emergency? That some devotees had declared their independence from ISKCON. There were two sannyasis who basically were influenced by anti-American sentiment. Because to a large extent, the leaders in the Krishna conscious movement at that time were all Americans. Because Prabhupada went to America, went to the Western world, Nirvana Stations in Nevada. I mean, even in India, they thought to a large extent that the members of the Krishna conscious movement were actually members of the CIA. It was like that. And actually, I remember walking in Venezuela, and people would look and say, CIA, 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 which means in Spanish, you know, CIA. And one of our devotees almost got killed. He went to a college university to preach, college campus to preach. And he's an American. And he got chased by all these, you know, the communists there. And they were getting ready to kill me. CIA, 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 CIA. So there was this consciousness that, you know, Americans were, that the CIA actually was actually the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. Really interesting. I mean, I think they have better ways to do things than join the Hare Krishna movement, you know, and chant Hare Krishna and shave their heads. And so, I mean, in Brazil, we did have some Secret Service people join the movement. That's true. CIA, the Brazilian Secret Service. They joined the movement to spy on us, but while they were spying us, they were also chanting Hare Krishna, and they became initiated devotees. So it works, you know, Krishna consciousness works. You come for the wrong motivation. So we had this, in Venezuela, there were these two sannyasis declared their independence from ISKCON because they thought ISKCON was just part of the American movement. And they started initiating on their own, and they started to influence other countries around. And as a result, we had to do something. So the GBC of South America, which was Sri Nandamaraj at that time, it wasn't GBC, said, Prabhu, because I Prabhu that. Actually, Prabhu means master. It's actually a pretty nice term. Sannyas just means someone who renounces. So Prabhu title is actually higher than sannyas, right? Sannyas means, oh, you renunciate.
And then you get Swami, basically.
Yeah. Swami means controller of the senses. Doesn't mean my controller.
Could also.
Yeah. Actually, in Vedic society, the wife calls the husband Swami. Did you know that? A husband calls the wife.
Also, South India, they call Didi.
Swami, yeah. And the husband calls the wife Priya. It's very romantic. So Rita Nandamarsh, who... He said to me, you know, you should take sannyas now. And I said, don't we have to wait for the approval of the GBC? This is a story I've never told before. Don't we have to wait for the approval of the GBC? And he says, I'm an acharya. Acharyas. He said this. The first time I revealed this. He said, I'm an acharya. You know, I do something, it's an acharya doing it. Anyway, I think you get the idea. At that time, you know, the people who were taking the role of guru considered themselves superior to the GBC. I mean, that's why we had, basically, we had a revolution against the acharyas at a particular point, and I was a member of the revolutionary gang. We had a gang of 50, and we revolted, and we reformed the GBC, and that's another story. So, getting back to the point. So basically, he said, I'm an acharya. You get down to Lima, Peru right now and take sannyas. I said, wow, that's good. Who wants to wait, you know? And so I flew down immediately from Lima to Lima, Peru. And there was another devotee who took sannyas with me, but he didn't make it in the sannyas ashram. He's a good friend of mine. He passed away. His name is Jagajivan. Some of you may know him. He's a very nice devotee. And he got married later on. And his wife's very nice. Anyway, so we were there in Lima, Peru, and I was just ready to take sannyas, and I said, well, it's Srivast Thakur's disappearance day, and I want to take sannyas that day. And he said, well, we haven't prepared. And I said, yes, I had. So I had everything prepared. And so anxious to take sannyas. I had, you know, the dunda made, everything was already made. He said, okay. And so on that day, 1978, on this day, 1978.
Tomorrow, sorry.
Srivast Thakur's. Anyway, we're commemorating today. We took sannyas and took our vows of sannyas and began to preach, as a sannyas says, preaching before. And so after taking sannyas, I spent some time in Latin America trying to rectify the situation, which I explained before. And then somehow or other, I mean, it was interesting because I was working with Srinay Nandamarsh. He's known as someone who changes things continually, or has been known like that. So after a few months, he said, all right, you better go to North America to preach. I said, okay. So then I preached in North America, and then since then I've been preaching in North America, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, the rest of the Balkan area, other places in Europe. Actually, I got involved in Europe right after Harikesh had some issues. What happened was that I had already been in Europe before, because I was working with Harikesh on the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. Me and Sridhar Maharaj, who were good friends, were working with Harikesh on the fund collecting. Not fun, fund. There's a difference, you know, even though it sounds the same, you know, fund and fund. On the fund collecting for the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. So I had already been in Europe, you know, working with him in Sweden, everything like that. So naturally, I knew some of the devotees. And when I heard that Harikesh had trouble, I felt compassion for the devotees, so I took the next plane, went to Europe to try to counsel the devotees who were really bereft. Did I meet you that time, Prema? Prema was in Korsnäs. He was translating books into Slovenian of all languages. You'd never guess it. Anyway, so then I flew to Korsnäs, and I met the devotees and was counseling them. It was an interesting experience, and then also went different places in Sweden, different places in Germany and everything like that. Met a lot of devotees. And that's how I first got involved in Europe. Because the time before that I went to Europe was before I joined the movement, when I was looking for the absolute truth. I thought I would find it in Europe. You know, it's kind of funny. Like in 1969, I went to Europe. I flew to Luxembourg. This is before I took sannyas, obviously. Before he joined the movement. I flew to Luxembourg and traveled around Europe thinking I would find... You know, I thought Europe has culture. America doesn't have culture. Because America is just a new country. Europe has an old, you know, history. Like today... Baladev Prabhu was preaching to me about Napoleon, how nice Napoleon was, you know, things I've never heard before in my life. How he was a good guy, he wasn't a bad guy. So, on Baladev's advice, I went to Europe in 1969. I went to Europe, and I thought I would find culture, but actually I found the same thing I found in America, which was what? Eating, sleeping, making, defending. So then I headed back to America, and I thought, wow, it's this, where am I going to go? India's a little too far for me. And so I just started meditating and chanting Hare Krishna at that point, and went to a deserted island in the Caribbean to chant, you know, where there was no people, and got scared to death because there were wild boars there. Wild boars and these pigs with big tusks on them, like elephants. And then there were sharks in the water. So that my meditation didn't work. Anyway, later on I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So anyway, So then that's how I got involved in Europe, and then somehow I got involved here in Slovenia because Dominic Krishna invited me to come. Dominic Krishna, and there were two devotees living in the temple at that time, was Kavi Karnapur and Dominic Krishna. You remember that?
You are speaking a lot about this situation.
Yeah. It was a very difficult situation. There was no heat in the temple. I was there in the winter and there was no heat. It was kind of cold. And they couldn't afford... Anyway, and so that's how I got involved in Slovenia, and here I am today. And Krishna... And also I got involved in Fiji in a... Not a similar way, but it's very similar because Tamal Krishnamurti asked me to go there, to Fiji. And that was like 2 years before he left the planet. So... Anyway, things happen in a very strange way. You know, Krishna arranges things. Krishna has plans. You know, you don't really know why Krishna is doing something until it's 30 years later. It's called, what do they say? Hindsight is 2020. 2020 refers to perfect vision. That looking behind you, you know, in the past, you can say, that's why Krishna did that to me. Wow. Now I understand. Now I appreciate, but I thought it was horrible then. So... Anyway, so that's my life in Krishna consciousness, and now I'm dedicated to serving Prabhupada's mission. I could say dedicated to serving Prabhupada's mission and the devotees fully, and I'm using, you know, whatever skills are left in this decrepit old body to serve Prabhupada and the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. So any questions or comments? How many people watching?
Nine.
Well, they'll watch later. Any questions or comments about Sannyas? Anyway, we're very happy to be here. Since I've been in Slovenia, it's been wonderful. Isn't it? We've always had nice relationships with the devotees. There haven't been any problems. And, you know, we had a good crew here, you know, good people on the temple board, good temple president. You know, not just really good devotee. He has some disease right now, but we just pray that he can recover quickly. So we're very fortunate to be here with all of you. And I had no plans to be in Slovenia, you know, 20 years ago. But Krishna has some plan. He moves his people around like pieces of chess, like the chess pieces on the chessboard. And I'm one of the pawns. I don't know if we have too many kings or knights or bishops or castles. I can just move one step at a time. Anyone here ever play chess? Yeah, probably everybody. I still do. It's actually fun. It's a good mind game. So any questions before we take prasad? Yes?
I heard that there's three sticks in danda.
Yeah.
And they mean that this is that one dedicates mind...
Body and words. There's actually four sticks. That's interesting for you. It's called the tree danda, but the Vaishnava danda has a little like crooked thing there. That's the four stick. There's three sticks in the danda, the stick itself. But connected to the danda, there's this little curlicue thing. And that refers to the jiva. So it's mind, body, words dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His service. And it's a jiva.
And then I was thinking, isn't that instruction for everyone?
Yes, but the sannyasi carries it to remind. The sannyasi carries the danda to remind him of that, and I don't carry it because I don't want to be reminded of it. That's a joke. You know. No, actually, after a few years, you know, the different devotees say 11 years, 14 years, the sannyasi doesn't have to carry his danda. When I first started traveling preaching, I carried the danda. And it was really difficult getting on airplanes and everything like that. And sometimes going through customs, they thought I had drugs in it. And so they would unravel I remember going in through different customs and countries, and they would unravel the whole danda. The danda is wrapped with long strips of cloth, saffron cloth, really long strips. So I would walk out of the customs with this, like, probably like 100 meters of cloth wrapped around my head and four sticks of bamboo sticks in my hand. and it really wasn't that practical. And then some sannyasis developed collapsible dandas, you know, telescopic dandas. You know, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Jayananda Maharaj, he's got literally fishing rod.
He has a fishing rod. Yeah, he has a fishing rod case.
I asked him, look at him, is he serious or he's joking? And he said, no, it's fishing rod.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I touched it, it was really like, you know.
Yeah, so people won't tear it apart with the fishing rod. So
he just puts it together, puts it in a suitcase, and when he meets devotees, he just put it back.
So some people have developed different strategies, but you'll find that most of the older sannyasis, the people who took sannyas first, like me, I was one of, I think I am the first, basically, or maybe the second, who took sannyas after Prabhupada left the planet. So they're not carrying dandas. It's just not practical. It's not practical for many reasons. You know, and then, sometimes a sannyas instead of a danda can carry a walking stick. Like Bhakta Tirthamaraj did that. Hello.